This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Today, I'll be speaking on the second level of increase. And this level of increase is fulfilling prophecy. So just how to fulfill prophecy. That is the second level of increase. And I would like us to please pay attention. So usually for the Christian, everyone who is of the church, because the church is a living organism, the church is not just like an association. It's not a social club. It is not a football club. The Church of Jesus Christ, despite all the different denominations we have all over the world and different locations, we are all at the center, one. And that unifying factor is the Spirit of God. The way we interpret the Bible may differ. Some people may interpret the Bible to say, they don't speak in tongues. Others may interpret the Bible to say they speak in tongues. Some interpret the Bible to say that they can only use oil and anointing oil to heal the sick. Some can interpret the Bible to mean they can use water. Doctrines may differ. But the Spirit is one. The same Spirit you find in Jesus is the same Spirit you find in every believer who is genuinely born again. So there are some that are not really believers who just coast along and pretend along. So those ones may have other kinds of spirit. But if somebody has given his life to Jesus, no matter where the person is, either a Presbyterian church or Methodist church or American church or Catholic church, no matter the church, if the person truly accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ said, I will then dwell with him. I will come into his heart and I will dwell with him. You see? So Jesus Christ said, if you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, I will dwell with you. Which then means that every Christian has the same spirit. That spirit of Jesus that dwells in them. Therefore, we all have the same spirit. Now, because we have the same spirit, individually, our perception of reality may differ. But we belong to a body that has to move in unison. Individually, our understanding of things may differ. But we belong to a body that has to move. And so this body, which is the church, has the mind of Christ and is equipped with visions so that we can see where we are going, and equipped with prophecy so that there can be communication of where we are going. So that is why the Bible says without vision, the people, it didn't say one person said the people perish without vision. Because if somebody sees a vision, once the person begins to say the vision, the person is prophesying. Vision and prophecy are two sides of the same coin. You see vision with your eyes, but as you open your mouth to tell us the vision, you are prophesying already. Because you are telling us the things you saw, which are of the future or which are of God's plan. So if you see a prophet, automatically the prophet is a rohe. The prophet can see. The prophet can see, and seeing means he can see the future, he can see God's plan, he can see God's purpose. And then when he opens his mouth and he says, Guess what I saw yesterday? I was on the mountain, and then I saw this place. As he begins to speak, he has begun to prophesy. So the verbal rendition of a vision is prophecy. So you see this in Ezekiel 37, when Ezekiel was at the Valley of Dry Bones. That is one of the most common examples. And the Bible says God told him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Which means he was looking at bones. Said he saw himself in the Valley of Dry Bones. So he was looking at bones. He was having a vision in which he was seeing dry bones. And then God said to him, "Can these bones live?" And then as he began to speak, we saw that he began to tell the prophesy to the bones, right? And so sight and sound are the variations of the supernatural. If somebody is seeing a vision and the person keeps quiet, the person has seen a vision, but the person has not prophesied yet. If somebody then sees a vision and begins to say, "This is what I saw," the moment he begins to narrate what he saw, he's already prophesying. Why? Because the things he saw, he or she saw, are from a realm that is not material, and by saying them, he is affirming them, and that is how they come to pass. So the first thing you must know about fulfilling prophecy, this second level of increase, is that as you pray in the spirit, God will bring things into your consciousness, sights. You will see in the place of prayer. You would have understandings or inspirations in the place of prayer. You will have insights in the place of prayer. And as you see these things, and as you know these things, you can then begin to talk about these things. You can say, "Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus." And then whatever it is you saw, you can begin to talk about them. So that is the first level when it comes to fulfilling prophecy. A prophecy that is not spoken forth is like an idea that is not shared. One of the problems with people who like to keep quiet a lot, who will see things but they will not say them unless God tells them to be quiet, is that without saying the things you see, you will not trigger the necessary ministering spirits, human understanding, and reactions that will bring that prophecy to pass. Let me say this one. When I was young, we were told the story of Joseph. And when we were told the story of Joseph, I remember one pastor said, when Joseph had the dream, the first dream, and he saw that the sheaves of his brother, his father, his mother were all bowing down to his own sheaves. And then he had the second dream, and he saw that the sun, moon, and stars were bowing down to him. They said, "He should have kept quiet. It is not everything you see you talk about. He should have kept quiet. Why did he talk?" If that was what, how you, if you ever heard that before, can I see your hand? If anybody preached about Joseph and the person said that Joseph should have kept quiet, can I see your hand? All right, thank you. You see, those who said that, they do not understand anything about spiritual things. All the pastors that ever preach that, they don't understand anything about spiritual things. So again, when people use carnal sense, when they use carnal sense to want to decipher the things of the spirit, they end up misleading people. You see, the key to prophecy lies in it being prophesied. If you don't say it, if you don't profess it, it will never happen. So, what then happened? This young man saw a vision, two visions, that clearly stated that in future he was going to be the glory of the house of Jacob. When he shared it with his father, his mother, and his brothers, he put all of them immediately, as soon as he shared it, and the words were spoken, the word came into their hearts. As the word came into their hearts, it elicited different reactions or responses from all of them. The father berated him and said, keep quiet. Are you saying that I'm going to serve you? So will you stop that? The brothers immediately became envious. This boy is telling us that one day he's going to rule over all of us. And he's the son of the favorite wife. And then his mother is dead. So father takes care of him specially. Father gave him a robe of many colors. It was all, this thing is entering this boy's head. This thing is entering this boy. This boy is already telling us that somehow he's number 11, but he's the first son of the favorite wife. So he's now making himself sound as if he will be the one to collect the double portion, as if he's going to be the one to lead all of us. It was that dream that the boy told them that made them start to think like this. So they started thinking about him in a very different way. Before, they were just looking at him like, our younger brother, how are you? We will protect you with our life. We love you. If anything wants to happen to you, we will fight. Nobody can take you away from this house. Our Joseph. My daddy's baby. So all of them love him. They love him and they cherish him. But that love is not what will help him for his future. He needed to be hated. He needed to have the kind of emotional response from them that will make them able to sell him. But he cannot generate that reaction from them if he does not give them a reason. Remember how Jesus Christ did about Judas. Remember how Jesus Christ, they were having Last Supper, and Jesus Christ told Judas, he said, there's one among you who is going to betray me. He said it to everybody openly. So they now asked John to ask him, who is it? He now said, who is it? He said, this one also said, is it me? The other one said, is it me? He now took bread, he put it in the bowl. He now gave it to Judas. He now said, yeah, take, it is you. Do what you have to do quickly. If Jesus did not say that, Judas will not have the courage to betray him. And Jesus needed to be betrayed. He needed to be betrayed for him to fulfill his destiny. It has already been written. But there has to be a trigger. So if Jesus kept quiet, Judas would have lost confidence. Or just would have been waiting for a better opportunity. Judas would have been like, no, everybody is here. They will stone me. If they know it's me, they will bite me. Peter will stab me. This one, let me keep quiet. It's not the right day. Maybe I should do it tomorrow. He was already contemplating doing it. He has collected money. But he was looking for the right opportunity to do it. But then Jesus now said, one of you here has collected money. He's going to betray me. Some of them are saying, is it me? And then they turned to the person that collected money and they said, okay, what do you have to do? Do quickly. Why are you the leader lane? So then when they said that to the guy, that then made the guy stand up immediately and the guy left. Because the guy realized, okay, he has given me the go-ahead to do it because he knew that I was going to do it. And Jesus needed him to do that. So if he had kept quiet, his brother would not hate him. By telling them those two series of prophetic dreams, what he had done was that in their hearts, they changed the way they saw him. They began to grumble about him. What is this boy saying? This small boy that the father is pampering. The pampering is entering his head. Daddy too is not making things easy. Daddy is giving him clothes. Daddy is giving him shoes. Daddy is making him feel special. And see what he's saying. He's saying that he's going to be greater than all of us. He's saying that he's going to be better than all of us. Oh my God, what is this? And because the father did not caution him in their presence, father did not say, shut up! And all that, they felt, this boy is already planting ideas in that distance. So one day, when the father then sent him to go and give his brothers food, guess what? As soon as they saw him from afar, they said, the dreamer, see, The dreamer is coming. Let us deal with him. Let us kill him. Let us kill him now. Let us kill him so that his dream will not come to pass. Or let us sell him. Or let us do this. Or let us do that. They began to discuss. Why? He was the one that gave them reason. If he didn't give them that reason, they wouldn't do the thing they were supposed to do for him to go to Egypt. So when you see, before I go on, because I'm about to move, if you understand the why now, that prophecy has to be spoken. Can I see your hand? Do you get it? Is it clear? So prophecy is not meant to be kept. Kept. No. There are two people who received prophecy and kept it. And they didn't receive the prophecy from, they received a direct instruction from an angel. Maybe the mother of Jesus. You notice that she has no role to play. She does not need anybody to sleep with her. So she received the prophecy and she said, "Be it unto me." And that happened to her. So she had her own category of prophecy is what we call foretelling. What will surely happen without any human intervention. However, foretelling needed human intervention. That means I have spoken forth, but a lot of variables have to happen, have to align for what I've said to come to pass. For example, maybe you read a testimony earlier today. I posted it on social media. That a lady was talking about how God gave her a miraculous pregnancy after the death of her husband that preserved her and the husband's legacy. In the course of In my head, when I see certain testimonies, I will go back to the person's WhatsApp page where they sent me a message, and I will read the previous conversations. I will scroll up. I will see the voice notes and all that. I like to do that. That's why when people call me, I will say, "Don't call me. Send me," so that I will be able to put the story together. You will not believe how that day turned out the way it turned out. I had a sister, I don't want to mention her name. She had been doing IVF. Maybe she has done 6 or 7 cycles of IVF. And when she was going for the last IVF, she was feeling in pain. She called me, she was crying. So because of her, I was really praying in the spirit around that season that the Lord would answer her prayer and give her a baby. Right? And so I was really, really all out, praying in the spirit, speaking forth, instructing ministering spirits and angels, telling them to inspire the eggs and the ovary and every part of the body to come alive. Now, that was the zone I was in as a person. Then I received this strange call from this woman. And she's a Nigerian. She just came out of the blue and she was telling me a case, a story. And she said, "I just need your counsel. What do I do here? My brother said we can go to court. I'm the legal wife. Therefore, my husband's property should belong to me. It is not as if I didn't contribute anything, even though he was a made man before I married him, but I contributed. And now, this way, this will that he did, I believe that was influenced." You know, she said a lot of things. And I didn't want to put her, I didn't want to put her in a war path. I didn't want her fighting any battle. She just lost her husband. The other was, I don't even been married by the time she called me. And she was already getting all agitated like that. So I then said to her that they gave you 2 weeks. By the end of that 2 weeks, you will have the fantastic news to give them. I think that was what I said, or something in that line. And we prayed together, and that was the end of it. Now, if I tell you that we didn't think that through pregnancy, I had no, it wasn't just to say he was going to get pregnant. No. I spoke to her because I knew that a lot of things could happen. The relatives could hear from God. God can tell them to back off. She herself could suddenly have a change of heart and feel like, oh, what is all this property I want to fight for? Let me just give it to them. You know, there are so many ways God could resolve that we wouldn't, I wouldn't have to instigate that, go to court, go and fight. I just felt, let me give her some time. And the family also some time. They have 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, a lot of people, you would think things through. And when you think things through, you may then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, come to the best decision for everybody. So that was what I spoke to. Only for her to come back to say how God decided to solve the matter was to give her a baby. To give her a baby. And I started laughing when I read the chat. Because I remember that I was praying for somebody else for children. But you see, she came, and by the time she came with her own story, and I was already in that zone of, oh, baby. It just so coincided with what she would need. And by the grace of God, she was able to get pregnant. So if she didn't speak, if she kept quiet, she would not come to me. Now, if when she came to me, I kept quiet, she would not receive anything. So prophecy is about professing. Profess means to speak. Therefore, there is no silent prophecy. There's no prophecy that is hidden. There's no prophecy that is found away in the brain. The prophecy, in order for a prophecy to activate the chain reaction of its fulfillment, it has to be spoken. If the angel did not tell Mary, you'll be pregnant, Mary will not just get pregnant. The angel has to speak. Even though the angel knew it, that this girl will be pregnant, if the angel did not tell her, she can't just suddenly get pregnant and then be looking at how did I get pregnant. No, it was the words of the angel that activated the pregnancy. Therefore, it has to be spoken. When the angel spoke, then the organs in Mary's body, the organs, the ovary, the fallopian tube, the womb, all of them were quickened. And as soon as they were quickened, Bible said the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. She was overshadowed and they produced a baby. Because she heard the word. The word you did not hear cannot profit you. Bible said this several times that how can they believe except they hear? How can they hear except somebody preach to them, except somebody prophesy to them? So, which was why God will raise somebody like Noah, somebody like Jonah, and said to Jonah, oh, go to Nineveh. Jonah could have been like Jerusalem, could have been like Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah stayed in Israel and he was prophesying about nations. And he prophesied about nations, it's like you are in your house and you are saying, oh, America, I declare, the Lord said, you can do that. It is still prophecy. Which was Jeremiah's style. But that prophecy will be spoken forth, and ministry spirit will then find a way to get it, to put it to work in the direction you have spoken it. But if you actually go to the USA, just like Jonah, that's another level where God wanted to see immediate change. This is not prophesying into time and space. This is prophesying in real time to real people in order to generate change. 1 Kings chapter 13, the young prophet prophesied to Samaria, prophesied to Jeroboam. Why? Because they wanted to see real time, real change. If you do not prophesy, people cannot hear. If they do not hear, there will be no chain reaction. They will not make the decision to do the things that they ought to do to make sure that that prophecy comes to pass. They will not do it. So we've seen this example several times in the scriptures where God will speak to somebody and then the person will keep quiet. And if the person keeps quiet, those who ought to hear that message so that they can act, they will not act. A good example is the story of Elijah, and the man, I believe his name is Jehu. God told Elijah, anoint for me Jehu to become king in Israel. Anoint for me Elisha to become prophet in your place. Anoint for me Azazel to become king of Syria. And anoint for me, there's one other person, Hazael, to become another king, maybe in Samaria. God told him four people to anoint. Four. That was Elijah, four people. So Elijah heard from God that he has to anoint four people to continue after him. Then the Bible showed us how he went to anoint Elisha. So he anointed only Elisha and he didn't anoint the other three. Only one out of. And you know, the other three, they never became what God said. Let me say that again. It's like God told somebody in January, go and anoint four people, three kings and one prophet. And then the person in the month of January went and anointed a prophet, only a prophet. And the other three, if we didn't anoint them, and as strong as he did not anoint them, they did not become kings. Because prophecy needed to be heard for somebody to then act and become what God says. And then Elijah was taken up to heaven. And this guy didn't become king. And terror began continue to happen. Jezebel and Ahab continued to terrorize the people. They continued to terrorize the people. Meanwhile, this still has a solution. God said, anoint Jehu to become king. Jehu was an army general. God said, anoint Jehu. Anoint Jehu. But he didn't anoint Jehu. As long as he didn't anoint Jehu, they continued to suffer. Ahab and Jezebel continued to punish the Israelites, continued to allow the false gods and false prophets to take over the land. They continue to allow things to become difficult simply because the prophet did not do what God said. Therefore, there can be no action. Then one day, Elisha has had enough. The Bible said Elisha woke up, was sitting there in his house thinking of all the bad things that happened in Israel. He was thinking, contemplating. The prophets are in trouble. Hey, the priests of Baal have taken over everywhere. Jezebel has become a principality in this effort. Nobody is safe. Suddenly he remembered that God told my master to anoint Jehu. Why didn't my master anoint Jehu? The Bible said immediately he stood up. He took pools of oil. He dressed up, he covered his face. And then he walked to the city. He was just walking. He didn't pray. I'm telling you, how the Bible put it, he didn't pray, he didn't say, God, should I go, should I not go? No. So if he went yesterday, if he went today, if he went tomorrow, any day he went, from the moment God spoke, any day he would do it, the action, the trigger will come into manifestation. So I'm saying, he waited till evening. When it was evening and everyone was there getting dark, he covered his face, he carried his clothes of oil, and then he walked into the army bar. When he got to them back, he saw Jehu and the soldiers. They were sitting down in the evening. They were drinking. No typical soldier behavior. All of them were sitting down. They were having, they were laughing. They were drinking. They were just enjoying themselves. They were just having fun. Then he got there and he saw Jehu and he said, follow me. Just pointed to Jehu. He said, follow me. So Jehu was like, ah, this strange prophet. So Jehu stood up and followed him. Then he took Jehu into a room. When they got into the room, he told Jehu to lock the door. Only two of them in the room. Jehu locked the door. He told Jehu, kneel down. Jehu knelt down. He opened the cruse of oil. He poured it on Jehu's head. He said, "Today I anoint you as king over Israel. The Lord has given the household of Ahab into your hand. He has given you the rulership of all of Israel. He has restored into your hand the order of the land, that things may return to how they should be." And then after that, he dropped the cruse of oil. He opened the door and he left. So when he left, all the soldiers that were drinking before, you know, all of them are like, "Where is our guy? Where is our guy?" Then the general came out. They looked at the general. They saw oil on his head. They saw that a prophet just left him, and there was oil on his head. Then they said, "Oga, what do you want? What did he say?" Jehu then told them. Jehu said, "He said, 'I'm now the king.'" Then all of them said, "Yes, sir. So give us order. What do we do?" He said, "Go to the house of Jezebel. Kill Jezebel, kill Ahab." And immediately the soldiers sprang into action. They didn't argue. They just went straight. Why? Why? Because the prophecy has not been activated. So everybody that heard it must comply. Why? The prophecy has been waiting for months and nobody did anything. The prophecy was waiting for several months, but because nobody acted, it remained in one spot. But the moment action was taken like this, anointed him that same day, anointed him. As soon as they saw Jehu with oil on his head and they saw that a prophet was leaving, they said, "Oga, then answer, what is your commandment?" That one said, "Ah, this thing is strange, Jehu." I said, "Oga, what is it? You can see oil on your head, yeah?" And he came to anoint me, said, "I'm now king." "Hey, well, if you're now king, then what do we do about Jezebel and Ahab?" He said, "He said we should kill them." "Oh, yeah, now let's go." And immediately they went after Jezebel. That was the day they threw Jezebel down from upstairs and killed her. And that was how Jehu became king. Why? Because if you keep quiet on the prophecy, you say, hey, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if I say it out, it will not happen. Hey, it is people that make people prophecy happen. You don't know. God will move people. So if they don't hear the instruction, how can they do anything? You are in your room. You are hungry. You did not call anybody that cook rice for me or make noodles or make pounded yam. You are there. You are just there. You are saying, "I'm hungry in your heart. I'm hungry. I'm hungry." Ladies and gentlemen, you will be hungry for long. If you are not the kind of person that somebody will come and ask you, if you married a good wife, yeah, and your wife comes in and says, "Babe, do you want to eat? Are you hungry?" You know, I say, "Yes, I want to eat." But you didn't tell her what you want to eat. You just say, "I want to eat." She can go and she will make couscous for you. Only for her to bring the food. And you're like, "No, this is not what I want." Because you did not profess, you didn't talk, she cannot read your mind. But if you say, "This is what I want," then the picture of the food you saw in your heart, she will then make it. She will then bring the food to you. When you are now eating, your heart will now be blessing her. Because it is what you saw in your heart that you are eating. You know, you are not eating the bread of sorrow. You are eating the bread of your vision. Like you sat down by yourself, you said, "Ah, this night, I feel like eating a pan upo or a biripo. Or I feel like eating wake rice." I tried that rice. Like, don't let me talk about it. And then she would then go and prepare the food. And then she will give you the food and you will eat it and your heart will be a blessing to her. Right? So prophecy means to profess, to speak. To speak. And that is the root word where we took the word professor from. Professor, somebody who speaks esoteric language, who speaks wisdom. You say, that man is a professor. It means he doesn't just say rubbish, that he speaks as a learned person. And that's where we took the word prophet from. Somebody who speaks the mind of God, an oracle of God. An oracle of God does not just hear from God, he also sees from God. Samuel was a rohe, was a seer, was a prophet, was a rose. He was both a seer and a prophet. Now, I know time is not on my side. I could have continued, but I believe you've gotten into this point. How then do I become a fulfiller of prophecy? How do I become a fulfiller of prophecy? So I noticed that most Christians don't understand spiritual rules. And as a result of not understanding spiritual rules, we lose out a lot. We do not engage the spirit of prophecy, and therefore we struggle with prophetic reality in our own lives. Let me give you an example. I want this to be very as practical as possible. So, God told Mary that she was going to have a baby, and the baby will be the savior of the world. This counsel was absolutely between just the angel and Mary. So Mary has heard prophecy. Joseph did not receive any prophecy. Mary came to meet Joseph at home. Joseph noticed that Mary was sickly. Joseph was like, this thing, are you okay? Are you sure you are fine? Are you sure you are fine? Mary then said to Joseph, an angel appeared to me. The angel said, I'm going to have a baby, and the baby will be the savior of the world. Joseph was like, do you think I'm stupid? You think I'm 3 years old? Why are you giving that bubble to? I'm not going to argue with you. Just rest. Take your soup and rest and sleep. I know you are not feeling fine. But as soon as the girl rested, the Bible said, Joseph sat up and he began to think. Joseph began to say, ha, what do I do with this situation? I will have to put her away quietly. I wanted to marry her, but she has been unfaithful to me. So I have to do it in such a way that I don't want to embarrass her. She's a young woman. I don't want to embarrass her. I cannot deal. I cannot cope with this. He was thinking the typical human manner, right? A typical human thinking process. Then, while he was thinking, He slept off. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the angel said to him, Joseph, Joseph, you are thinking the wrong direction. This is the direction you are supposed to think. This is the instruction. This woman is going to give birth to the Savior of the world, and the pregnancy now is of God. Therefore, don't put her away the way you think. Treat her with kindness. Treat her as one who has the power to help God. What did I say? Somebody who has the power to help God. Mary was the mother, but the baby in her was the son of God. And this man now has the power to help God so that the plan of God will come to pass, so that prophecy will be fulfilled. So Joseph heard that, and Joseph woke up and was like, okay, I've heard. I'm going to be a fulfiller of prophecy. I'm going to put everything into play to ensure that this prophecy of God comes to pass. You see now, he changed his thinking completely. He switched it from self, he switched it to the prophecy. There's a prophecy here that is God's will, and I'm going to align with it and ensure that I give everything to make sure it comes to pass. You will then notice that from that moment onward, as soon as he made that decision, the angel stopped speaking to Mary. The angel began to speak to Joseph. Joseph, by being a prophecy fulfiller, has ingratiated himself to the divine and now has the ability to hear from God directly. That was why God told him to take the baby to Egypt, and then God told him to return, went to return from Egypt, and God was telling him, stop speaking to her. Now, she was the one that started hearing from God. He became somebody that enabled the fulfillment of prophecy, and as a result of his willingness to do that, he began to operate in the prophetic himself. Let me give you a second example. Somebody you know, maybe at work. You are praying, and God told you this person is going to become the MD of social company. God just told you. Or sometimes I'll meet somebody, that's me. I'll meet a lady on Monday, and God will tell me she's getting married very soon. And then I will tell her, congratulations, I'm getting married very soon. And the lady will say, I don't even have anybody I'm talking to. I have nobody talking to me. I mean, guys, so I don't know why I'm congratulating me. And I'll quickly note it. Then maybe 30 minutes or an hour later, or at most 2 days later, I'll meet a young man somewhere. The young man will tell me, I mean, guys, how are you, sir? And you see, I'm trusting God for a good wife. And I will say, ah, yeah, take this lady, go and talk to her. And then they'll be married. I do that a lot. And that is because I heard a word of prophecy, and it is my duty to fulfill the prophecy to ensure that that prophecy does not fail. So I will then play the role of a fulfiller of prophecy by ensuring that that which God said does not fall to the ground, that the word of God does not fall to ground on my watch. If God says this is my word, then it shouldn't be said of me that God spoke and I was the one that made the word of God fail. Or that I didn't do anything by my inaction, by minding my business. What God intended to do, I didn't put my hand, I didn't lend my voice, I didn't put my resources, I just looked away. And I knew this is God's will. And I just said, if it is God, let him make it come to pass by himself. And I didn't get into it. I didn't support it. I didn't put my hand into it. I didn't do anything. I just acted as if, as if it's not my business. Anybody that acts like that is not a fulfiller of prophecy. And that person will now struggle. If the person also receives prophecy tomorrow, the person will now struggle to see the prophecy fulfilled. Because it's like you are in your father's house. You are in your father's house. Like you have an earthly father. And then your father said, when he was going out, he said, I'll be home by 2. I'd like my food to be ready for 2 o'clock. Right? And you sat at home. And then the person that's supposed to cook did not come. Then maybe your mom was not around. Then your younger brother or your younger sister that's supposed to cook was not around. And you just sat down there, you are watching TV. There was food, though. You have food at home. You can cook. But because you are not concerned, you did not get up to prepare food for your own father. You're like, no. He has a wife. Let his wife cook his food. Or it's my sister that will cook. Or it's my baby that will cook. And you refuse to. So the man comes back from work, parks his car, comes to the house exactly 2 o'clock, no food. And then he asks you, did I not say in your presence that I'm hungry? He say, hey, but it's not my turn to cook, so I didn't cook. Or one day you are going to need something from that man. He will remember that you are not kind. And it will tell you, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. But a good child will say, hey, this is my father, he's hungry. Hey, nobody to cook. No. I'm going to the kitchen. You cook. When he comes back, you say, ah, I'm hungry. Say, daddy, I've already made your food. Ah, but your mom is out. Yes, but you said you are going to eat by 2. That is the attitude of a wise child who honors his or her father and ensures that the word of his father does not fall to the ground. There are children that when their parents speak, they would go against their parents' words. They would antagonize their parents' will. their father will say, "This is what I want." They would, and the attitude will be against it. And there are people, Christians, that when God speaks, their attitude will be against the word of God. Against. Like, God will say to somebody, this person is going to be the pastor of this church. And you are a member of the church. You are like, never. Never. It will never happen. You are deliberately there. I've seen this several times. That God will speak, and people will say, never. Over my dead body, God can never. God, shut up. Shut your mouth. You will not put this person in this position. Like, some people, they would wake, they will sleep. God will talk to them like this, that this is what I want. When they wake up, they will say, no. God spoke to me, Brother Inga. God spoke to me. I heard from God. God said he wanted this marriage to work. But I'm the mother of the husband. It will not happen in my lifetime. I have decided that the marriage will not work. But I mean, God has spoken to me. No, I'm tired of God too. I pray that God said to me that I should let the matter go, that I should let them come together. But I am telling you, but I mean, God, I will not let it go. There are people who have that attitude. That they are, they would antagonize God. They will stand on the path of God. They will resist. Like all the high priest Caiaphas, all the Sanhedrins, all the Sadducees, all the Pharisees, like they were against God's word. Like God spoke, and they were like, no, we are the resistance. We are not going to be fulfillers of prophecy. Rather, we are going to work against the fulfillment of prophecy. There are people like that. Never be like that. Never find yourself in the camp of Sanballat and Tobias. Never, never. Anytime you see that you are, the conversations, discussions were going in a direction that would make you stand in the way of God. I'm not talking about sentimental. Maybe somebody came to lie to you. A person said, God said, and God did not say. That's what I'm saying, please. Because some of us, some of these teachings, we don't hear me well. Is there anybody that comes to you that says, God says, that is speaking for God? I hope you know that. And you have been listening to me for some weeks now. So you now understand that you are full of the Holy Spirit and that God speaks to you. So I'm talking to you based on the fact that God speaks to you. So God tells you, God says to you, give this man, there's a man coming by 10 o'clock. When he comes, just give him this car. Right? Just give him that car. And you are like, never. The man is not deserving it. He doesn't deserve it. Rather than give him this car, I'll give it to somebody I don't know at all. This person does not deserve it. How can God say I should give him the car? I'm not giving him the car. When you take that kind of attitude, I congratulate you. You see, you will spend a long time in the place of prayer, and your prayers won't be answered. Anybody that does not understand how to walk with the Spirit of God, you must always align with God's Spirit. Always. I mean it. Always. Which direction is God going? When Peter told Jesus, you will not die. Stop saying that. Jesus Christ said, hey, get away from me, Satan. Get away from me. You are thinking like a man. You are not thinking like God. You are not aligning with God. Later, Peter did not hear. Peter said, if anybody wants to kill you, I will die for you. Jesus Christ said, you have started again. You will deny me. The arm of flesh will fail you. This is your determination. This is your kuru kuru mouth. You will see that all your energy and all your loyalty will fail. Because you are not doing it according to God's word. You want to go against God, your will break. And Peter's will broke. And he denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus had to pray for him and restore him. Because no man should ever find himself in alignment against God, forming an association against God, going to join a meeting and saying, this is how we are going to. Nobody should. The moment you begin to go in that direction, you will just notice that all the angels of God that naturally will work with you to make prayers answered, to make your path easy. They will not side you against God. I've several times Christians don't think of these things. The essence of a Christian is the Spirit. That was how I started. I said, the Spirit of God is in all of us. And as long as we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Jesus lives in us. And the Bible says we are children of obedience, children of the day. So by nature, Jesus is obedient. The Bible said in the book of Philippians 2:11, he said that therefore God highly exalted him. He said he obeyed, he obeyed, he obeyed. He humbled himself and obeyed God, and to even to the point of death. So Jesus is obedient. Therefore, Jesus obeys anything that God says to do. And the Spirit of Jesus is in you. Therefore, the Spirit of Jesus is not a rebellious spirit. So if God says, oh, somebody is coming, when she comes, just tell her, I'm forgiving you. That's it. Or tell her, the matter is over. But you are hurting. So you're like, no, the matter is not over. We will fight from heaven. We'll fight from earth to finish it in heaven. And you allow all your feelings and your emotions to be so powerful, to be so strong, that it now made you stand in opposition of God's word. The first thing you will notice is that all the ministering spirits and the angels that are working with you, they will leave you. The reason is they cannot, you and them serve God. That was what the angel told John in the book of Revelation. He said, don't worship me. I worship God like you. Let all, we are both worshiping God. Both of us are in agreement. So both of them are aligned. One is an angel and one is a human being. So all angels, all spirits, they obey God automatically. The Spirit of Jesus came into us, Christians, so that we too can begin to obey God. Because before Jesus came into our hearts, we couldn't obey God. We were rebellious. We were stiff-necked. We had the spirit of Adam. And that spirit was a spirit that has disowned God. So Jesus then came into the life of a born-again Christian so that a Christian will align with God the way Jesus does, so that when God says go, the Christian will move, angels will move, ministry spirits will move, everything will worship and follow the voice of God. But when you, as a born-again Christian, now assert your self-will. So God now says, oh, go to my son is going to minister at so-and-so, you are his wife, go with him, prepare his food, and make sure you, and you say, no, I'm not going anywhere. Let him go. If he wants to go, let him, you automatically, you are saying that, God, I don't need all the angels that are working with me. Because if God says you should go, and you don't go, the angels will go. The angels hear God's instruction. If God says, all of you should go, and only you stay, you'll be staying alone. Angels will not disobey God with you. Ministering spirits will not disobey God with you. So that means you are now on your own. If you now need help, there'll be nobody to help you. If you pray at that time, there'll be no answers. Why? Because you are falling out of alignment. But if God says, do something, and you do it like Joseph, you fall into alignment. It means you are willing to go in the line God wants to go. And therefore, everything obeys those who obey God. So as long as you obey God, every other thing you are also doing will begin to fall into place. So a Christian must perpetually be a fulfiller of prophecy. If God speaks to you about something, as long as you know it is God, you do it. It may be painful, do it. It may be about giving, give it. It may be about going out of your way to go and say sorry to somebody. Stand up and go and say sorry to the person. Maybe about calling your mother to say, I'm sorry, say it. As long as God speaks to you about anything. Why? Because you are a fulfiller of prophecy. Because you don't want to align yourself against God. Therefore, you must align yourself for God. And since you know that God has spoken and the word of God will not come back void, you do that. Now, if God spoke to somebody, a third party, that's not even your business. He said, God called me and he said I should go to Cambodia, but I don't have the means. Quickly, even though God didn't tell me, I'll bring out the money. You can ask anyone. I'll give the person. If I can, I'll give. Why? Because I don't want God's word to fall down. I don't want the person to say, God spoke to me, it didn't come to pass. When I know God spoke to you, but it seems as if there is no strength for that word to come to pass, it is my duty, the onus is on me, to make sure that my father's words does not fail. I hope you understand the class. It's time to give our offering today. Today, this week is a prophetic week, serious prophetic week. So as we give our offering today, it's a... don't have the time. As we give our offering today, I'd like us to give it as a prophetic offering of reconciliation. If you know that you've disobeyed God severely, or sometimes not severely, maybe in some decisions, you've heard me teach, and you realize that, this thing, I've done this thing here, I've done this thing there, I want to come back into alignment. I want to just be in the same, I want to be one with God in this direction. I've allowed myself room to take me to this place or take me to that place, but no more. Now I want to align. I want to go in the direction that God is going. I want you to please talk to God as you give your offering. Declare that from today you'll be in alignment. Declare it that from today you will be in alignment. You will no longer go against the word of God. You will not align against God. You will not allow the word of God to fall to the ground. You will not allow a prophecy to fail. If it is by your power or within your power to uphold the prophecy, you uphold it. You will stand with God, fulfilling the word of God, ensuring that the word of God comes to pass at every level. You will do the work of God, and the work of God will prosper in your mouth and in your life. Declare it clearly, the wonders that God will do with you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare that the angels that are supposed to walk with you, the ministering spirits, right now, the fragrance of obedience coming out of you is drawing them back into alignment with you. You will no longer struggle in the place of prayer. What God says to do, you will do them and you will get great results. The young man I prayed for this morning, God said he should take care of a missionary. He didn't. And suddenly in his place of work, things are not working. He was supposed to be promoted. He didn't get the promotion. And as he was speaking to me, crying, I said, God told you to do something. He said, I don't know. Eventually, we got to it. He said, wow. I said, why didn't you do it? He said, I didn't know. I said, because the missionaries didn't get help. That's why God said, hey, okay, you two stay there. You two stay there. If you will not do what I say, you two stay there. He said, hey, and he quickly went to do it. And within an hour, things turned around. So I declare alignment for you. I declare that your hands are strong and strengthened. I declare that you are not against, you are for the will of God. And the will of God is done quickly in your life. I declare that all the things that seem to want to, the self-will and the stubbornness is gone. You see as God sees, you align yourself and you do the will of God effortlessly. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. Glory be to your name for teaching us your word freely and for making us understand it. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
Glory!
Glory!
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.